MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, the Pope's Apology Tour. Molly Burke. And Brian Cox. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Tuning in. Thank you for coming out in person. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone, thank you so much. We've got a great show for you tonight. Take a seat. Take a seat. We've got so many things to talk about. The Pope is confessing his sins. Russia is now beefing with people in space. And our guest is the Emmy-nominated star of Succession. Brian Cox is joining us on the show, everybody. So, let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. Before we get into the big stories, let's catch up on a few other things that are going on. First of all, Jeopardy has finally chosen its permanent hosts. And no, it's not Steve Harvey, he's too busy doing every other game show. It's actually gonna be Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings. Yeah. That's really, really great for them. Congratulations to Mayim and Ken, or as your grandfather calls them, not Alex Trebek and Lady Not Alex Trebek. In sports news, the NFL has announced that they're launching their own streaming service, which is fantastic, because I don't know about you guys, but we just don't have enough of them right now, you know? And this app is apparently gonna have all of the preseason games, which is kind of like paying to watch the story part in porn, but I guess that's what some people like. So this is gonna be good. In politics news, Mike Pence says he's being treated differently now that he's no longer vice president, and that he had to recently wait 25 minutes for a table at Olive Garden. Yeah, which sucks, yes, but on the upside, Trump supporters aren't trying to kill him anymore. So, I mean, pros and cons, pros and cons. I will say, it is a little wild to me that Mike Pence even goes to Olive Garden. Like, I think it's dangerous to eat at an Olive Garden when you look so much like a breadstick. Oh, sorry. And of course, I'm sure you've all heard the sad news. After nearly 40 years, Klondike is discontinuing the Choco Taco. Yeah, it's not me, it's them. I know, it's outrageous. The Choco Taco is the perfect American fusion of cultures, right? It's Mexican and sugar. And how are you gonna get rid of the Choco Taco before getting rid of the popsicle, huh? Nobody likes those. This is dildos that give you brain freeze. Come on. But anyway, let's move on to some of the bigger news stories of the day. And we're gonna start off with the Catholic Church, the world's number one manufacturer of atheists. The Catholic Church has made many, many positive contributions to society in the fields of art and science and philosophy. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have come up with the smoke machines in the club, you know? But the church has also done some bad things over the last, say, 2,000 years. Which is why, in a really positive development, Pope Francis is seeking absolution for the church's sins.
On his first full day in Canada, Pope Francis delivered a historic apology for the, quote, evil committed by so many Christians against Indigenous people.
At the site of a former residential school in the Canadian city of Maskwacis, Pope Francis was greeted with sacred drumming and dance, rituals the church once sought to erase for around a century. More than 150,000 Native children were taken from their families to attend government-funded residential schools, most of them run by the Catholic Church. They faced rampant neglect, physical and sexual abuse while being forced to assimilate. It was here the Pope issued a historic apology.
I am here because the first step of my penitential pilgrimage among you is that of again asking forgiveness.
Man, you know what? Say what you want. I love this Pope. I really do. Yeah, because ever since he's come into office, or into power, or ever since he's gotten the gig, what do they even say? No, whatever it is, he's done a really good job of trying to right the Catholic Church's wrongs. You know, he's reached out to other faiths. He said gay people can get into heaven. And don't forget, he added a pop and lock to the sign of the cross. You know, just like, oh, me no no spirus, oh, me no no veru. On top of that, he's apologizing to Indigenous people in Canada for the role the Catholic Church played in trying to erase their culture. I'm glad he's doing that. It also must have been a shock to Canadians, you know? Someone coming and apologizing to them? And just be like, I'm sorry? It's like, no, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry? And you know, beyond the Pope, yeah, the Pope is great in all of this, but you know who the heroes of the story are? The Indigenous people, yeah. For not just speaking to the Pope, but for forgiving him, even letting him wear their traditional headdress. That was amazing. It was gracious, you know? Unless they were just setting him up for a trap, you know? It's like, we let bygones be bygones, please accept this headdress, snap photo, and you're canceled, mother. We got you, cultural appropriation. They didn't do that, but it would have been funny. Now, apparently, in addition to the apology, the church has also agreed to pay a settlement for what they did, which I think is fantastic, especially on the tribe for actually insisting on it. You know, because so many people's lives have been destroyed and a generation was thrust into poverty. So sorry is nice, but money goes a long way. Yeah. In fact, you know what? They should put I'm sorry in the caption of the Venmo payment. That's what they should do. And not just the church, not just the church. Yeah, I think this should be for everyone. All those governments around the world, you know, who've stolen land from people. Like in Africa, we've seen this all the time, right? England is always like, we're so sorry, we pillaged and plundered your country of all your natural resources. And Africans are like, oh, okay, okay, can we have our diamonds back? And it's like, oh, but they're already in the crown, yeah. But we can't take it out, we can't. A crown without jewels, that's just a hat, oh, yeah. So I'm glad. Do something about it. Oh, and speaking of people who are gonna need to apologize for a lot in the future, Vladimir Putin, back in the news. Oh, I guess he's never left. Ever since he decided to inherit eastern Ukraine, Russia and the rest of Western, you know, the rest of the West really, have been going through the 21st century's most savage breakup. All right, there's been threats, there's been sanctions, and just today, Russia really escalated tensions by making big cuts to the amount of gas that it will send through its pipelines to Europe. Yeah. Now, they're saying that this is because of mechanical issues. Yeah. But I'm sure this is mechanical issues, the same way someone breaks up with you because you deserve better. You know? Yeah. Just be honest and say you can't see a future with someone who wears Crocs to nice restaurants. Debbie! Justin Bieber wears them now. Anyway, on top of all of that, Russia has decided to extend this beef into space.
This just into CNN. Russia says this morning that it is preparing to pull out of the International Space Station. That's a big deal. A space agency official told Vladimir Putin it will leave the ISS, quote, after 2024.
This withdrawal would be a major blow to the ISS, which has served as a model for international cooperation for decades.
Russia says it will start building its own orbiting outpost instead.
Wow. Russia is officially pulling out of the International Space Station, which nobody asked them to do. We said pull out of Ukraine, not the space station. This is a Google Translate issue. What's going on here? And you might not realize this, but this is actually bad news because Russia helps to operate the space station, which I didn't know about. No, what I mean, like, I don't know about you, but am I the only one who's shocked by how many things are connected to Russia in the world? Right, like the world's energy supply, Africa's food supply, space travel, minerals for our electronics. Soon we're gonna find out that Russia provides the sound for sneezes, and without them, we can't complete the action. No chew for you. And by the way, I don't know why they call it an international space station when it doesn't seem very international. It's basically just Russians and Americans up there. There are like 200 other countries in the world. It's not an international space station. Like, how come there are no African countries up there, huh? Why? Because we'd start playing soccer and accidentally kick the ball through the window and everyone would get sucked into space? I mean, that's a fair point, but still, why? So yeah, The Russians are leaving the space station. And although they think this is pretty cool, good luck to them making a dramatic exit when there's zero gravity.
And so, you better remember, don't mess with Vladimir Putin unless you want to feel the full force of Mother Russia. That's right, you cannot mess with us. Ha ha! Okay, can somebody push me towards the door? Push me. Just push me toward. Push me toward. I want to make dramatic exit. This is not exit I was hoping for. I'm just floating around like idiot right now. Okay, imagine you're crying and I'm gone, bitch. Imagine the pain. Imagine the pain.
All right. That's it for the headlines. Before we go, let's check in on the traffic with our very own Roy Wood Jr., everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's going on, Roy? What's
going on, man?
Good to see you. How are you feeling today,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, I feel good, man. I feel good, man. It's hot as hell outside. I mean, it's safe.
You feel safe?
Yeah, it's safer when, especially with the traffic and stuff, it's much safer when it's hot. Like, because that's why people, like, you know, that's why, like, drive-by shootings got invented, because it was too hot to get out the car. Wait. It's less road rage. When it's hot, it's less road rage. So nobody want to get out the car to fight. You ever get out the car to whoop somebody's ass? You'd be like, ooh, shit. And you get back in the car. Some stuff you just got to let slide, man. You just got to let it slide.
Real quick, man.
Russia did what they were supposed to do.
What?
Yeah, Russia did exactly what... If somebody at your crib and they talking shit, just leave. Just leave. If somebody's talking crazy to you, you ain't gotta be around them, man. Just get gone. You ain't gotta put up with nobody talking wild to you like that. And plus, America's stupid for doing that. We ain't got no space shuttle. We sold our space shuttle, so we ain't got no ride home. Russia was our ride home. How you gonna talk shit to your ride home? And now they gone? It's just gonna be a bunch of Americans sitting on the front porch of that space station just waiting on Jeff Bezos to come pick him up in that dick rocket. So, you remember the dick rocket? Bezos had the dick rocket.
I don't think he calls it a dick rocket, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I said dick rocket, you understood exactly what I meant. Exactly.
If you said Jeff Bezos' rocket, I also would have gotten it. You didn't have to include it. Anyway, what's going on in the traffic, Roy?
Choco Taco was trash. Let's just be real about that. It was a trash-ass treat, man. It didn't quite, like, everybody loves to be sad whenever they get rid of one of these treats. Oh, take my Choco Taco from me. If everybody who loved Choco Taco bought a Choco Taco as much as they talk about how much they love Choco Taco, they'd still have a damn Choco Taco. But you didn't do that. You went and got sorbets and gelatos. Now your Choco Taco is damn gone, man. It was all right.
No, it was beloved.
That don't mean it was delicious. It was just all right. It wasn't a classic. It wasn't no legendary ice cream treat. Let's be real about Choco Taco. It wasn't legendary. It was all right. It wasn't no Nestle Crunch Bar. It wasn't no Flintstone Push-Up. It wasn't no ice cream sandwich. The truth of the matter, Trevor, is that most of the foods we love, especially ice cream, we just attach to people that we had and built memories with while consuming that treat. You don't miss the Choco Taco, you miss your father and he's gone. That's what it is. I miss my father. I'm gonna do the traffic.
You don't have, Roy.
No,
I'm sorry. This time you don't have to do the traffic.
I'm gonna do the traffic.
No. I feel like this went like this is a lot of pain right now. You don't have to do the traffic.
I'm gonna do the traffic. You said
this is weird because you're crying and doing traffic. It's gonna be weird. Now we're all thinking about your dad. And are you sure you want to do this, Roy?
Yeah.
Okay, you can. As long as you're good. Okay. Oh, didn't your dad drive a truck like that? No, Roy! Roy Wood Jr., everybody. Don't go away, because when we come back, we're going to learn how some blind people use dating apps and Brian Cox is joining us on the show. Don't go away.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show. Today marks the 32nd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And so it's extra appropriate that my guest is popular YouTuber, TikToker, and Instagrammer, Molly Burke. She's a young woman who loves fashion, makeup, and downhill skiing. Oh, and she also happens to be blind. Please welcome Molly Burke. Molly Burke, welcome to The Daily Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is such a fun moment for me because I've seen so many of your videos. You know, you aren't just funny, you aren't just engaging, but you dispel so many of the myths around how we see blind people, how we even think about people with disabilities. And I think on a day like today especially, it's really cool to have you here because I'd love to know just like the beginnings of it all.
Yes.
You have a disability and, you know, you go into the world, not just living your life, but thinking, how do I basically educate idiots? which is what I feel like you do. I think
I've exactly
been an idiot
goal,
about a lot
actually.
Of it.
Exactly yes. The goal, actually. Exactly the goal. You know, I was diagnosed with a rare eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa when I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, the doctors told my parents, one day she's going to go blind, but we don't know when it will be.
Wow.
So I was kind of preparing my whole childhood, and I was slowly losing my vision. And then at 14, I very quickly lost the majority, leaving me now only with light and shadow. And at the time, I lost all of my friends, I was very badly bullied, and all of a sudden, society started treating me very different than how I was treated as an able-bodied person. Mm-hmm. And I was really angry for a long time. But in my own journey to recovery, I realized I can either be a victim and sit here and be angry that society does not understand, or I can actively be a part of educating society and taking that ignorance and changing it. And by doing that, hopefully changing the discrimination that disabled people face.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And, you know, when you talk about discrimination, I hope people understand the levels that it comes on, because it's truly wild to see. For instance, there are people out there who still will say to you, oh, you're faking it. Oh, you're not blind. Oh, how come your eyes are blue? This is not a thing. And I was shocked to see how many stereotypes we have internalized about, you know, blind people just, you know, alone. Like, talk me through that. How many people think you're just not blind?
Oh, I mean, there's whole Reddit threads devoted to dispelling that I'm blind. Somebody said I know too much about blindness to have never been blind, but that I must have gotten better, like it's the flu or something. It's very much not like that. I promise I don't like hold the secret cure for blindness. The reality is most people will never meet a blind person in their lifetime. Hmm. And so the only way we access things like blindness or disability in general is often through the media. And historically, we've had very little representation. And when we do, it's a lot of misrepresentation because it's written, directed, and played by able-bodied people who are changing the narrative. And that's why I tried to take social media and use it as a way to take back the narrative for at least myself. I can't be all blind people, but I can share my story as Molly, my experience.
And you know what I love about that is the fact that it is exactly what you said, is you've never tried to claim it as your own. You say say, hey, I am a blind person, mm-hmm. and these are some of the things that the blind community faces, but this is me. And what I like about that is it reminds us to not see people with disabilities as a monolith. You know, so for instance, I learned from you, I didn't know that, you know, you don't have to wear dark glasses. I didn't know that you can look in the direction that you're speaking. Because again, to your point, I've watched movies my whole life. I go like, oh, I know blind people. And it's like, no, I don't. I just watch movies. That's all I basically yes. did, right? What are some of the day-to-day obstacles that you may face as a blind person that I think the rest of us should all be aware of?
I mean, today I'm using a cane, but generally I'm a guide dog user. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that just trying to leave my house with my guide dog is a challenge. I've been a guide dog user for 15 years, and sadly, the issues are only getting worse because of, frankly, selfish people who decide to buy fake service dog vests and certificates on Amazon right, and like take right, their right. pets places and give real service dog users a bad name. And then again, because I don't look blind, this stereotype that society has been given of blindness, when I'm like, oh, I'm blind and this is my guide dog, they're like, yeah, uh-huh, I'm sure. And so that's a big issue.
So what, you won't be allowed into, like, what is it, like restaurants? Or where do you find you'll get the most pushback?
Ubers and Lyfts is absolutely my nightmare, which is so frustrating because obviously I can't drive. So Uber and Lyft is like what I take the most often. I'm like, I am giving you so much of my hard-earned coin and you are slapping me in the face by constantly denying me.
Yeah, it's sad, it's infuriating, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's why you laugh about these things online, but we take so many of these things for granted, I feel, because we don't understand the obstacles that are put in place of anybody with a disability. What I found interesting about your journey, though, is you also find ways to, it's not really mock the world, but you exist in it despite the limitations. For instance, I was shocked to hear that you will use dating apps like Tinder.
How else am I supposed to find a man in 2022? I mean, yeah, I don't know.
But I really need to understand, though, like, so, like, how do you use it?
So I use a screen reader called VoiceOver.
Okay.
And so it reads the bios to me. Obviously, you cannot tell me what the photos look like.
Okay.
So that's where good friends and family come in. And they give me the, they're like, okay, you don't want to go on a date. And I'm like, got it.
How do they even describe, like, so I would love to know, like, when you meet somebody, again, this is me just basing it on, you know, the few experiences I've had, and then movies, is like, do you even care about what a person looks like? You know, because you'd hear those stories, for instance, you know, from movies, it'd be like, oh, Ray Charles would touch people's faces. He's like, I want to know what you feel like in terms of your face. Do you care? Or is it completely different for you? Yeah.
Most blind people don't feel faces. That okay. is like a really big movie stereotype.
That's what I was wondering.
Majority
yeah.
of us do not. Can you imagine if I was like, hey, Trevor? Like, it's like very weird, really uncomfortable. And so that's not a thing.
I would do it if I was you because I would get away with it. No, I'm just saying as a comedian, I would just do that.
I did it once as a joke. Like, yes. One of my friends was like, hey, I told my girlfriend you feel faces, so go with and I was like, got it. And so she like walks in and I was like, Vanessa. And like, I we were all so serious for the whole, and she's just standing there like, bless her soul, just like. Because he told her like, go with it. She'll be upset if you don't.
If you don't let her touch your face. Yeah. But you see, this is what I mean. These are misconceptions that we have. These are different ideas. If people want to learn, if people want to educate themselves, there's so many people out there who aren't obviously trying to be against anybody who's disabled, but they really want to learn. What would you recommend for them? You know, what are good resources? Where can they go? How do they learn?
I mean, social media is like the greatest place to turn to because there are so many disabled people on TikTok, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, making content, sharing our life experiences, sharing our day-to-day, how we do things, mm-hmm. to show that like we can still do what you do, just in a different way.
I love that. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful. I'm stretching my hand out to you. Oh, don't move. I'm stretching my hand out to you to say thank you. There we go. Thank you so
nice
much.
To meet you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow Molly Brooke on all social media platforms that you use. When we come back, Brian Cox, the Star of Succession, will be joining on the show. Don't go away. Molly, wait, don't go. Don't go, Molly. Just stay there. Don't go yet. I'm gonna help you out on the other side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. show, my next guest is award-winning actor Brian Cox, who plays the patriarch and media titan Logan Roy in HBO's hit drama, Succession. Please welcome Brian Cox. Mr. Brian Cox.
Hello, Trevor.
Oh, wow. Wow, these are tough interviews for me because I whenever you speak to somebody who you've admired for so long, you have to try and gather all your thoughts. I have to breathe a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You are easily one of my favorite actors in all of like my favorite movies. You're like the best bad guy. And in real life, you're such a good guy, which makes me go like, you're even a better actor. And you see, I'm rambling now. I'm just welcome
no,
to the show.
Okay.
Welcome
it's
to
okay.
the show.
No, no.
Good
no,
to have
no,
you.
It's very
welcome
nice to
the
to
show.
Be here. Very nice to be
oh.
here. No, I was just watching that clip and it was very depressing. Because that's not me, and I keep. That's why I never watch the show.
Oh, really?
Oh no, I never watch it because I can't bear this. I can't bear that guy. Well, actually, that's not true. I quite like him, but there's an aspect of him that I go, why? You know, why can't he just be a little nicer at times?
You know, I think that's why the show is watched the way it is. I remember when Succession started. The thing that everybody said to me, all my friends said was, have you watched Succession? I said, no, I haven't. They said, you should watch it. I said, okay, I'm going to watch it. And then they said, you're going to hate everybody, but you won't be able to stop watching. And then when you watch the show, you start to realize why. Like, your character is one of the most gripping characters. He's an asshole, but at the same time, we want you to win sometimes, but you shouldn't want to win.
Yeah.
And you are the complete opposite of this character. And I think that's why it works. You bring out something. It's like an empathy, maybe, in the character.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of sympathy with him. I mean, both he and I are disappointed in the human experiment.
Oh, wow.
We think that humans have really screwed the whole f-ing thing up, quite
uh-huh,
frankly.
Uh-huh.
And it's getting worse on a daily basis. It is. You can applaud as much as you like. It is getting bad. But it is. And we've never been in such a bad time as we are at the moment, what with the Ukraine and the fact that we've had this ridiculous pink Pinocchio that's been the president here. And then we've got this clown from Eton who's now finally trying to, I don't know what he's doing, that lying prat from London. And it's just really bad. So both Logan and I, we have a chat occasionally, and we've decided that the human experiment is in a pretty bad place.
But you have different ways of responding to it, you know, where,
oh, yeah.
where you know, you've always been somebody who is fighting for the working class.
Yeah.
You're the complete opposite of your character. A lot of people don't know how you grew up.
I'm an optimist. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, Logan isn't an optimist, he's a
yes.
pessimist. And I do believe that human beings can get better, but they've got to do a lot of work.
Huh.
You've got to work for
it. Were you always an optimist even as a child? Because I've read about your childhood, and you really lived a rough childhood.
Yeah, well,
you really did.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was rough, but a lot of the time I didn't notice because I was just getting on with it.
Interesting.
You just have to get on with it. You know, you're dealt a hand of cards and you go, oh, this is the hand I've got. I see. And what am I going to do with this hand? And you do it as best you can. And there's no good moaning about it. And, you know, the things that happened to me, you know, were pretty not nice. But at the same time, it's also made me who I am.
Huh.
So in a way, you have to be grateful for that which is ungrateful.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah, what has happened to you is the reason you are the way you
exactly.
are today.
Exactly, and I feel blessed. You know, I feel blessed really with my career and with the work I've been able to do over the years. So I don't have any regrets at all. I mean, my parents were wonderful people. Mm-hmm. They died far too early in my life. But I remember them very fondly, and I still carry them with me. And I believe that. I believe that's the most important thing in life, is to honor your mother and your father. Because they're the only proof you've got. There's nothing else. It's all made up all around you. But the reality is, there was mum, there was dad, they did the business, and you came out.
That's beautiful. I love that. It's interesting how... You know, I've noticed this about you, and there are a few other actors, you know, out of the UK where you approach what you do very much in like a working way.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. You know, for many American actors, oftentimes it can be like the celebrity and this and that.
Oh, yeah.
But with you, you have like a very much like, I go to work, I do the thing, and then I go home and, you know.
Yeah, it's also to do with our training. You know, we have really great training back home, and it's classical training, so, and it goes a long way back right to Shakespeare and beyond, you know.
I see.
You know, so in a way, that training helps you. It helps you enormously in dealing with the realities of life, because it is work. It is just doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, you know. And you don't, sometimes a lot of American actors, they kind of treat it like a religious experience. You know, oh, Jesus, you know, it's so hard what I'm doing. I'm gonna have to remove these teeth. I'm gonna play this role. I gotta have these teeth taken out, and it's gonna be so difficult. And you go, pretend. Just pretend.
I feel like all of that is the culmination of who you are as a human being. You know, it's a young boy who grew up in a world where, you know, he lost his parents and then got into an industry that really turned into a fantastic career, and you become, you know, such a reputable figure in it. And then on top of that, you've now used that platform to talk about the issues that are still close to your heart. For instance, you've got this documentary that you've been making about income inequality.
Money.
Yeah, money.
And money, you know, religion, all religions are kind of like cul-de-sacs in a way. Money isn't, because money is what really separates people. Huh. And those who have it, and those who don't, really don't. And that's what I've been doing over the last four months, trying to understand, because I'm playing this guy, you know, this fella, and because he is so impervious to the whole state of poverty,
right,
that it's important to understand the wealth gap that is increasing more and more and more and more, and in the United Kingdom and also in the United States. I spent some time in Miami, and that was an experience and a half, because there are because there is a lot of rich people in Miami, but equally there are a lot of poor people, immigrant people, you know, who clean the rich people's toilets, who do everything, you know, all the menial tasks, and they are treated quite cruelly. You know, a lot of them have, you know, like they're building these whole high rises in certain parts of Miami, and, you know, people are literally being put out of their homes. You know, they're given 6 weeks to leave their homes. And these are people who've got kids in school, who has been very hard for them to get their children to school, to do certain things. And suddenly, because they're building these high rises, 50% of them are empty, you know, but it's just greed. It's sheer greed and nothing else. And my most moving thing was, I was back in my hometown of Dundee in Scotland, and on that, I met this man who, he came in. I was working what they call the larder kitchen, where people are poor, but they want to give the dignity of still being able to pay for what they get. So I was interviewing him. I said, so this is for your family? And he said, oh, no, this is not for a family. He said, I come here on behalf of these people, older people who live in high rises who can't get out. I said, so what is this you're wearing here? He said, oh, I'm blind.
That's amazing.
I said, what do you mean? He said, no, I'm blind. I mean, I can see that much, he said, but I'm really, I'm officially blind. But there's nobody else doing it. So I felt I should do it. And you go, this man's a hero. And that's the thing that's great about human beings. That's when the human experiment goes, oh, wait a minute. Hang on. There are a few good people out there who really do these selfless things. Mm-hmm. And it's very moving, and it's very, very humbling.
It's humbling, it's amazing, and I'm so excited to watch it, because I think you're one of the best storytellers, because you're so engaged and you believe in it. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much.
All three seasons of Succession are available to stream on HBO Max. The documentary will be coming out on Paramount Plus. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's our show for tonight. But before we go, please consider supporting the Mira Foundation, an organization that provides trained guide dogs free of charge for visually impaired and blind children between the ages of 11 and 16. If you want to get more info on what they do or donate to support them, then please visit the link below. Until next time, stay safe out there. And remember, if you're looking for a place to rent, there's a room opening up on the International Space Station.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.